Hey guys, welcome to Bonus Thoughts. My name is Kevin Prescott, and sitting across from me is the John Lash.
Hello.
Hey, so we just went through our 5-year anniversary.
John was
preaching a little bit on Joseph and the fact that God has a dream for our lives that's bigger than our dream for our lives. John, what were some of the bonus thoughts, the things that you wish you said, you didn't have time to say, you forgot?
Sure. So I just love that story. It was just a great day, man. Greenhouse, you guys are a lot of fun. I just want to go on record. Greg did win the kickball game, all right? God, in his infinite mercy, deemed it appropriate. And I think I'm hoping it'll help Greg preach a little bit better. So, it was great fun. But, it was a phenomenal day. I love that Joseph story in that it's so honest. There was a bunch of people I just had some really amazing interactions with after service. Some of my neighbors who we just love, who hadn't been to church in 15 years after a really negative experience, they came and the overall feedback was like, man, we just really connected with that story, and it's because God is the best storyteller ever, and He's writing our stories right, and so the Joseph story is just honest to real life. So one of the things that I didn't have time to tease out of there is the mind-blowing way that Joseph responds when his brothers come back into the picture, right? So they traffic him. We talked about this. They traffic him into slavery. He's wrongfully imprisoned. He finally has this moment. They're like, "Yeah, man, we're gonna remember you when we get back to the Pharaoh." And then they forget. And so sure enough, Joseph becomes second in command over all of Egypt. Sure enough, the famine does strike. Sure enough, his brothers do come and bow down. Right. And you would imagine at the very least I'm gonna forgive you, but I'm gonna make you work for this. You know, something.
Right.
And Joseph just responds, honestly, if you're not in the spirit when you read it, you will be pretty angry. Like, you'll get the flesh and get pretty upset because it's like, no, come on, Joe, make him feel it a little bit.
Right.
But Joseph just seems so in touch with the larger God story at play. And so he says things like, hey, guys, you know, I know you meant this, speaking to his brothers, I know you meant this for evil, but God turned this for good so that many lives might be saved and many people might be rescued. And so it's like, how in the world did Joseph get there? A, I think Joseph had a very high view of God's sovereignty.
Right.
B, I think Joseph had an ability, which we see David also echo all throughout the Psalms, where he was able to zoom out from his current situation. Right. He was able to kind of step back 30,000 feet. Here's what I think Joseph realized. If my brothers had not done the wicked thing that they did, which was not God's original plan, but God used it. If my brothers had not done that, then not only would all of Egypt be starving and dying, my family would be starving and dying. And if you look at it from our perspective, it's like, okay, if this does not happen to Joseph, then there is no Joseph, then there's no Jacob, then there's no Israel. And ultimately, if there's no Israel, there is no Jesus. Right. Which means we're all in big trouble modern day. So it's like looking at the grand cosmic schema of what God is doing in his plan. If you can grasp, like, I am mildly intelligent sometimes, arguably. Right. Ask my wife in any given moment. And I can mastermind a little bit.
Right.
How much more so the God of the cosmos? And it's very faith-stirring. It's very challenging. It's very encouraging to watch the way Joseph responds and just the way that he's in touch with things. So, so I don't know. That whole idea of the gospel, how it all ties in, I landed with some of the parallels between Joseph and Jesus. But anyways, I love that story. I've probably read it 100 times conservatively, and I'll probably read it hundreds more if the Lord tarries. So, yeah.
I mean, if you're doing your Bible in a year plan, you're probably actually on or just past the story of Joseph.
Yep.
That's actually what's funny is John was preaching on Joseph, and I'm like, oh, but I'm on that passage right now.
Yep.
You know, it was interesting, I'm doing the Bible in a year plan with HDB Church, Nikki Gumbel out in London. You know, seems like the greenhouse of England.
Oh,
I suppose.
Amazing.
Yeah, they're great.
Did they launch Alpha?
Yeah, they were the originators of Alpha, and. What's so interesting is you know, Joseph didn't know the plan.
Yeah.
He didn't know the plan. He didn't understand what was going on. But I try to remind myself, God never asked for our understanding. Mm. He just asked for our obedience.
Come on.
And when you think specifically of Joseph, you know, just his story of you know, I was like my father's boy. Now I'm a slave. Now I'm a slave to Potiphar. But yeah. I work my way up to like his right hand.
I'm blooming where I'm planted. And I'm doing the thing.
Right. And then he gets demoted again. And by the way, demotion, not because he did anything wrong, but because someone unjustly came against him. So now he's in prison.
Wrongfully accuses, yeah.
Works his way up again. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh man, like because if it were me, I would, God, like I'd be kicking and screaming and just frustrated. Yeah. And I mean, even right now, I mean, just the passage is speaking to me. The past 2 months have been very difficult and for various reasons. And I'm like, oh man, like this is tough. What was interesting was what Nikki Gumbel said in the Bible study, which is he trusted in God and realized that God was over his situation.
Yeah.
And then of course Pippa, his wife, then it's just remarkable how he didn't complain the entire way, but trusted in the Lord. And I'm sitting here.
That accent is great. Actually, if you could do the whole podcast in that that's accent, right. I think our listeners would really enjoy that.
I just got so convicted. But it's, again, God doesn't require our understanding; He requires our obedience.
And it's divine grit. Like you think about Angela Duckworth, you know, coined sort of this phrase. I don't know if she coined it, but anyway, she's popularized it with her book. But this ability to continue to persevere in the midst of wild adversity is fueled by his faith. And so a lot of times toss out that sort of thing. You're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. Right. I'm like, oh, then you haven't read the Joseph story. The reason he was so earthly fantastic is because he was so heavenly minded. And I think we could all do to benefit from that. So
Yeah. So John, it's been 5 years.
5 years.
Tell us the old stories, the campfire stories.
Oh man. Is that a cow mooing?
That's I'm sorry. Great. If any of you guys heard that Chewbacca sound, that is my father's text tone when he texts me. Don't ask why it's Chewbacca.
That
but anyway.
So good. That was a bonus on the bonus thoughts. Yeah, man. I'll start with a few stories just from Sunday. My wife and I had some close friends come who have not attended church in a very, very, very long time, like decades plus. And we've built a friendship over time. And so we just love them. They love us. And so they're like, hey, the God thing, you know, we're not really sure where we land on that, but we just love you guys, so we want to come and support. And so they have a child who's on the spectrum, high-functioning autistic.
Right.
And so they came, and my wife sort of realized, she's an educator, and so she realized, oh, man, this music, you know, he's sensitive to noises. So my wife was like, oh, man, this music is probably a little loud. And so she asked our friend, you know, the wife after, hey, how did it go with your son? I know the music was probably a little loud. And she's like, yeah, it was loud, you know, but actually, someone came up during service, and he had his hands over his ears, and so someone came up during service and tapped him on the shoulder. And I'm like, oh, man, that's going to go one of two ways. Either it's someone not knowing the situation, is like, how dare he cover his ears when our worship leader sings so great? Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, please. And they're like, yeah, and they brought him earplugs, because we have that, you know, different people like different volumes, and so we have earplugs there on Sundays. They're like, they brought him earplugs, they showed him how to use them. He loved it so much, he put them in his ears, he was kind of playing with them all service. He was, you know, and she was really impacted by the love and the hospitality. So to this day, I have no idea. Whoever greenhouser you are that did that, you're like my hero.
Good work.
Just love you so much. Yeah, way to go. I mean, they just felt so loved. So talking with them this week, following up, what'd you think? They're like, we loved it. You know, we want to come regularly. Not like every week, you know, we want to have a spiritual component in our family, and so we're going to come regularly.
Right.
It was just so cool. All sorts of amazing stories of things that happened. So stuff like that has been the reality for us. All throughout this journey, I'm still remembering when I first moved down here. Zara and Cindy, we were doing a lot of things at their home, and so I remember seeing pictures. I'm like, Zara, what are those people doing moving couches through your like window? And he's like, oh, that's how we used to do service, you know? Because for the longest time, we met in various houses, and then we met in a print shop that had no AC and all this kind of stuff. And so it's just been. This five-year journey has been a wild adventure of faith and just like free-falling with Jesus. Like, we don't exactly know what we're doing, but he's told us to do it. and we're here thriving somehow by the grace of God. I'm like, I can't even tell you. The more, like, one of my visions personally is I never want to become a professional Christian, meaning I'm a son of God. That's why I do what I do. I didn't get into this because I'm like, you know what would be a great occupation with fantastic benefits? Being a pastor. It's like, I got into this because I'm like, Jesus, I'll do anything you want me to do. I'll go anywhere you want me to go. I'll say anything you want me to say, and I'll give anything you want me to give. And so he said, now I want you to move to South Florida. And I said, sir, yes, sir. Here I go. Yeah. And it's been amazing. It's been fantastic. But I'll do a myriad of other things. And so keeping that heart posture, that sort of like rookie smarts, if you will, there's a business right. leadership book where it's just like, Lord, we're lovers of God first. We're disciples first. We're, you know, for all of our staff, for myself as a pastor, I'm like, if my heart just starts getting dull and hard and crusty and it's the dangers, right? One of the dangers right. of success is you get good at what you do.
Right.
One of the occupational hazards for if what you do is this occupational ministry is you can just go on autopilot. And so you start doing right. the stuff, preaching the sermons, coming out with the videos, doing the deal,
right.
and your heart becomes untethered and you stopped emotionally. The passion, the love was lost
right.
years ago. And I think that's right. oftentimes why pastors just seemingly leave the faith and walk away right. from Jesus all of a sudden. It's never all of a sudden. It's a slow fade.
Right.
And so I'm like, I was talking with Jamie one time. I'm like, Jamie, if my heart just starts getting hard and callous, I'll just fire myself. Right. Like, I'll go work some other job. I'll go do something else. It's not an option to lose yeah. first love passion. So
yeah.
I've watched that in our 5-year story over and over again where people were just doing crazy stuff. I mean,
yeah.
working full-time jobs and
oh, yeah.
waking up early and going to bed late and yeah. having staff meetings and in random Dunkin' Donuts and living rooms and all out of love. That's
right.
why we do what we do, Greenhouse. Right. Like we do it for love. Love for God, love right. for people.
And even what you're saying, I think there's like a brief side point that then somehow miraculously connects back to the story of Greenhouse. I think there's this perception that a lot of people have. If I really want to follow Jesus and make disciples, I have to join the staff of a church. And a lot of people, like you said, they don't understand. Like when it becomes like your job,
yeah.
there's a real danger and yeah. a risk.
Massive benefits, obviously.
Of
but,
course.
But it gets way more difficult as
right.
well.
Right, and now yeah. it's like it's so emotionally tied to your faith and it becomes a production, it becomes a job, and you lose kind of, I don't know how else to say it, like the spirit, whatever, of what you're doing.
It's
you don't
very
even
easy.
You don't participate in it. And I think what Czar did...
Sean and Natalie.
Sean and I was yeah. trying to think of their name.
Yeah,
Sean,
Paul and Quishana.
What they did.
Mm-hmm.
They were not paid staff, part-time, anything. They just, okay, God said make disciples. Okay, that you know, yeah. I'll just start a microchurch. You know yeah. what I'm saying? So I think it's such like a helpful reminder whether you are full-time ministry or you just want to be faithful in the workplace that God yeah. has placed you.
Yeah.
Be faithful.
That's it. That ties it all in. Joseph's story, what we're doing now. And I mean, just, I've really been thinking so much about this week and this past Sunday because I just love our church, Kevin, honestly.
Right.
I'm like, I say it to different guests when I'm doing Activate. I'm like, if I wasn't the pastor here, I would go here. Like,
right.
they're not perfect people. You know, I'm raise my hand for that one, but it's genuine. It's genuine right. people. And all the people, we had like, just so you guys know, Greenhousers, if you're listening, I had more deep, meaningful, honest, vulnerable, raw conversations
right.
With people who are investigating Jesus, faith, and spirituality, who are like, yeah, I haven't been to church in years. I haven't been to church in 20 years. I haven't been to church ever. I haven't
yeah.
been to church in 80 years. We had someone come, hadn't been to church in 80 years, and they ended up saying, hey, I want to become a Jesus follower. I mean,
right.
beautiful. 85 years old, they were. Like, just some amazing things that happened.
Right.
I had more of those type conversations in one day on Sunday than I typically have in, like, 6 months.
Right.
So it was just so cool that all of you love your friends enough that you're praying for them, that you've got
mm-hmm.
them on that VIP card, not because you think you're better, but because you love them and you want them to experience God like you have. And then that you brought them. And then that they came and overwhelming response from people was like, man, I just sensed something. I felt right. something. You know, there was this energy. That's like a main way that oftentimes people who don't have the language to describe what they felt when it was the Holy Spirit describe right. it. It just this energy. This there was just something in the room. I'm like, yeah, that was God. That's what that was. They're like, maybe. I don't know, but I think I want to come back. So it was just such a good day. I'm just thrilled, man. I'm thrilled.
So where are we going? So harvest. That's kind of the big word for this year.
Yeah.
What does that tangibly look like for Greenhouse South Florida in your mind? Yeah. What got us placed there?
I mean, honestly, I think this past, so in the course of the last 6 weeks now, right? Since the mm-hmm. beginning of the year, about 6 weeks, we've had 9 baptisms. Just since Sunday, we've had, I'm stories off the top of my head. Families that haven't been to church in 15 plus years came and said, hey, can we get Bibles? Can we start learning more about God? We want to start coming to church. Another friend that invited some of their neighbors, they came and they were just, I mean, had not been to church in 80 years, like I said, and invited the friend who brought them over for dinner and said, can I talk to you about my experience? And ended the night saying, I want to pray to ask Jesus to be my Lord and Savior and follow him and receive his forgiveness. I mean, just like stuff, God is moving. Right. People's hearts are open and receptive. So on a harvest level, immediately, I just think it's our faith family, Greenhouse Faith Family, continuing to be active and praying over these VIP cards and investing in those relationships and realizing that by and large, people are looking, people are searching, people right. are hurting, people are hungering right. for something. And right. what they're hungering for, whether they realize it or not, is Jesus.
Right.
On a practical level, I feel pretty strongly like we're supposed to go after some things very tangibly this year.
Right.
So we sort of had to move to 2 services last Easter. We'll definitely do the same thing again this Easter. But we feel a mandate at this point. I feel like it's a mandate. I think we're supposed to plant at least 2 other churches, locations.
Yeah.
And so we've got a whole hub of people representing FIU coming from way down an hour south in Miami. And they drive an hour every single Sunday. And we've got a whole hub of people coming from an hour in West Palm. And so I'm like, that's amazing. It's also not sustainable.
Right.
And so I think that's God trying to let us know we need to do something. So I feel like we're supposed to plant some churches, some you know, sort of multiple locations, however that fleshes out and how those look. And so I think from gathering wisdom and thoughts and expertise from people who have done this before, the overall vibe is, hey, you're not going to be ready to plant another church in a different location until you can at least do another service in your same location. So come September, right now is the target date. We're moving to 2 services. So we're going to need, if you've just started coming to Greenhouse recently, we need you on board. We're going to need a whole separate team, separate setup and tear down team, and another greeting team, and another hospitality team, and a bunch more kids workers. And so just preparing, kind of like Joseph, for harvest,
right.
you know, God was like, hey, man, get all the old storehouses ready, sweep them out, get them ready, because I'm about to bring the harvest. And that's kind of what we feel God is saying.
Right.
And we're beginning to see the rumblings of it even now. So another service, looking at the future in regard to church planning and things of that nature. And then just continuing to be active and intentional when it comes to where God has placed us. I think that's what we see from Joseph. Wherever God placed him, he gave it his all.
Right.
To serve the Lord. And I think for all of us, whether we're in school or we're working a job, whatever neighborhood you're in, it's not haphazard. If you belong to Jesus, he's placed you there as his ambassador. And and we want to continue to step out in those ways.
So in short, what John is saying is if you're not already plugged in on a serve team, the tech team has a lot of open spots ready to be filled.
I knew it. I lobbed you a softball there.
I'm kidding. I'm sorry. Just a question passed my mind. I don't know if you know the numbers. I didn't prepare John with this question. Just numerically, I mean, it's not all about the numbers, but there's something about the numbers a little bit that are signs and indicators. We had a massive weekend last weekend.
Sure.
With 400 something.
Yeah, we had a bunch of people.
Was that one of the highest percentage increases from a bring weekend that we've had in the past?
So, you know, different things. I think probably the number that was the most exciting to me is we had easily 40 to 50 guests on just a Sunday that wasn't like a calendar Sunday. So it's not like an Easter or Christmas where all of culture is sort of on it. It was just a random Sunday, February 9th. So we had a ton of guests come, And from just from the conversations I had and a few of the staff had, just really great experiences and positive experiences from that. So yeah, there was a lot of people, which is cool. But obviously each individual person matters to God, and especially having all those guests come, it lets me know that our faith family really did step out and invite, and I thought that was awesome. It means they trust us enough that if they bring their friend, it's not going to be some weird experience, and they're like, no, if my friend comes, they're going to experience God, and they're going to experience love, and they're going to be welcomed, and that's who we are. That's who we want to be.
All righty, John, let's land this plane. What should we expect for this upcoming weekend? What are you preaching on?
Oh, man, I'm so excited. So we're jumping back into the Jesus, Justice, and Diversity series. This week, we are hitting on diversity. What it is, what it is not, how the church has a call and a mandate to be who ultimately we will be when we look at Revelation. And so it is going to... I literally have probably 2 hours worth of content that I have now split into 2 weeks. So you're welcome if you're coming to church this Sunday. But I'm so excited. Do what you got to do to get there Sunday. You will not be sorry, and bring a friend. I'm pumped to dive in.
All righty, guys. That's all the time that we have for today for Bonus Thoughts. Thanks for joining us on the podcast. And don't forget, we'll see you at Western High School at 10:45 a.m. next Sunday. Look forward to seeing you.
See you guys there.